And hi, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Chiefs Live, because all of a sudden, we're right in the middle, seemingly, of Madison Square Garden, or Times Square, as it were, because 65 TPT has gone to a new level with this set.
One word. Fantastic. This is outstanding. It's two words, I'm sorry, but it deserves it. This is great.
It's fabulous. And this is the result of a lot of work, a lot of design work, a lot of dreams coming true, but you're going to see this set utilized in a lot of different ways down through the next several months on different shows on 65 TPT. But just saying, this is pretty cool.
It is sharp. It's fun.
It is fun.
As is everything this offseason.
It has been. There has not been, there just hasn't been much negative to this team. And now with OTAs flying around, I guess we'll just talk about that overall. All of the positive vibe of the first round of OTAs, there's been nothing to derail this train. It's carried over. It just seems to be building.
Well, you're right. I think you've got certainly a lot of changeover in terms of the number of people that are here as opposed to last year from the other regime. And I don't know. You go back to January 7th and when Coach Reed was hired and everything, the positive nature, some of the locker room leaders that you've brought in with your Smith. I see some rookies that have been brought in as far as draft picks that have a chance to be great locker room leaders and forces in the locker room, which I think is huge, not only this year, but moving forward in the future. It is going to be very, very interesting.
I know it's only Memorial Day. It's not training camp. It's not 3 weeks deep into training camp. But yesterday I had a chance to talk informally with Derek Johnson. I talked with Justin Houston. I talked with John Baldwin. I talked with Dwayne Bowe. It is drastically different. These guys are legitimately excited about what's going on here and having Andy Reid and his coaching staff coaching them on the field. They see that it's different and it's real.
Well, you're right. And Coach Reid out there, I mean, he's a teacher, and how he approaches everything, you've heard some quotes from John Dorsey just talking about how you don't realize how much Coach Reid sees out there and just the bounce in his step and how he's getting around. He's enjoying his time here. He sees a lot of opportunity, or else he wouldn't have come here. And how can you blame him? Because there is a lot of opportunity here. Things didn't go great last year. You've turned the corner. It is a new regime. It is a new time. It is a new set. I mean, it's new everything. And I like the direction they're heading right now.
I'd like to tell you Beyonce would be joining us as a third person on the set. That hasn't come true yet. We're working on that. But we've got everything else. I think she would handle this set and being on here with us. Okay, as promised, we're taking a look at this team as a group, basically. We talked about the offense in the past show. Now we're going to talk about the defense and basically kind of go front to back. Look at the roster as it looks now, just hours away from Memorial Day weekend, what this roster looks like defensively. Now let's talk some global things about defense. And this theme that we've kind of been on since the end of last season is this defense has to be more explosive. Only 7 interceptions is quasi-ridiculous. It was by far the worst in franchise history. This team didn't take it away, didn't score on defense last year, didn't create field position. What about, let's revisit this, creating more of an aura of having that kind of defense, and how much can you turn a season, if you're wanting to go from 2-14 to 10-6, how much does defense play into that?
It's huge, and you talked about it in terms of only 7 interceptions, and to me, that starts with the defensive line. You have to put pressure on the quarterback. You want to force some bad throws. Make the QB uncomfortable, Mitch. Make him get rid of the ball before he wants to get rid of it. We saw what the Chiefs did this offseason in terms of the defensive backs. I've never been around an organization that bolstered up the defensive backfield like the Chiefs did this year. It was really, really impressive. So I think that's huge. They've got to put pressure on it. That starts with your interior three. Certainly we know about the outside backers, and we'll talk about them. But your interior three with Tyson Jackson, Dontari Poe, and then what I think is the first position battle is who's your right defensive end. Of course, Dorsey goes is with the 49ers now. It will be interesting there because I think – you know, maybe aside from maybe you and I talking about a wide receiver falling out somewhere from another team, I think defensive end is the place that you've seen the Chiefs try to concentrate a little bit on defensive line, rather, this offseason. Brought some people in. It hasn't worked out. Not every deal works out in the NFL. So it wouldn't surprise me to see them add somebody at some point in time for competition-wise, because that's something that the Coach Reed and John Dorsey have talked about all the time. Upgrade the talent. Upgrade the competitiveness. That just makes everyone better.
Yeah, we just saw it yesterday. The team made some roster moves yesterday and just, I mean, get used to it. It's going to be that way all the way up probably until the opening snap against the Jacksonville Jaguars in week one of the season. Now, let's take the defensive line first, and let's start with the guys that are returning. You already mentioned some of them, but let's kind of go through these one by one. Tyson Jackson, he has been the target of a lot of discussion, let's just put it that way, since he was one of the top picks in the 2009 draft. Where does this go for Tyson Jackson, and can he become an impact Pro Bowl-type player in Bob Sutton's defense?
I think he has the ability to, because what I saw towards the end of last year was a guy that was understanding the scheme more, and agreed, I know the scheme is changing this year, but he was understanding how to use his body. This is a hulking guy. I mean, he's got some, what I want out of him is I want a three-down defensive end. I want him to put pressure. He doesn't have to sack the QB all the time, but he needs to take up a couple people, so your outside linebackers, or you can bring an inside guy every once in a while through there, and you can get somebody, you can get pressure on the QB that way, shape, or form. But what I saw from him last year, Mitch, was he started understanding things more, getting his hands into the offensive guy, pressing, releasing, finding the ball better. I thought he played very, very well the last eight games of the season, and I've watched him progress. What's fair or not fair, the thing is he was a high draft choice. You expect so much from him, so maybe there were too many expectations. I don't know, but the fact is he has been getting better. Case in point, he was re-signed this season.
Yeah, and one interesting point, they're kind of moving him around a little bit in the fact that he has been left, or that technique on that side. Now all of a sudden it appears Bob Sutton is taking his kind of pick and choose, cut and pasting him around, depending on down and distance. What are your thoughts on moving him around, and what does that do to help him be more explosive?
I like that. As a former offensive lineman, when you're not sure where guys are going to be, that kind of messes with you a little bit. And it may sound like a little thing, but it really is a big thing. And you talk about defensive coordinator Bob Sutton, and a lot has been made about the fact that it's an attacking-style defense. It's a 3-4. It's still a 3-4, but kind of a hybrid in terms of moving people around, like you said, and maybe you don't two-gap like you think a normal 3-4 defense, two gaps all the time. Maybe you get up the field more, the attacking style of things. I think if you move him around, you've got a chance. Maybe week to week, maybe you can find some mismatches size-wise on some people, because this is a guy that I think if he's given the freedom to go upfield and really create some havoc, that can be a good thing.
Well, you just segue now to Dontari Poe. I was very encouraged with what I saw. You mentioned the last eight games of the season. I'm going to micro him down to the last four. His game against Carolina was exceptional. The Chiefs, won that game in due part, some of it due to Dontari Poe. Now you're moving around one gap skiing, give up the field, attack. It's more of what he did at Memphis that got him to a first round draft pick. How much does this scheme potentially, if he's not two gapping all the time, helps Dontari Poe?
Well, I think it helps him, Mitch, the most, because Dontari Poe at 6'3", 350 pounds, I've never seen a guy of this size and stature move like he does so fluidly. And if he can do, and I don't mean this in a bad way, if you can have a little less thinking, because it does take some thinking to really lock out and be able to play to one side or the other in two gap. If you can just get up and wreak some havoc, this is a guy that I think if he makes his mind up to get somewhere, I don't know that you can actually stop him. I mean, you saw that when he took maybe three people back to sack Cam Newton in that Carolina game like you talked about. I think there's some good things. He started to play on the rushdowns at the end of the season, which I liked. He wasn't coming out. And if you go back all the way to the start of the season, Mitch, this was a guy that was a little bit lost. I mean, and you know what? Lots of defensive linemen get lost early in their career. It takes a little bit, because those offensive linemen, they're normally veterans, and they've got a little craftiness to them. And he figured that out. I watched him get planted several times, and he would say the same thing. He's a hard worker, but he learned, and he got better, and he really developed as the season went on.
Kind of like the Will Ferrell movie, Land of the Lost. There's a lot of defensive linemen in there, out there with I just put that out there. So, yeah, with Dontari Poe and with Tyson Jackson, it looks like this scheme could have them flourish within it. Now, let's go to the spot you already alluded to, which I think becomes the premier discussion when you're talking about the defensive line, and that is that other side. Mike DeVito, they get from the Jets. I mentioned his 6'4", his fumbles. We love stats. in football. We love it in the NFL, and the defensive line is probably the least statish position that there is, unless you're playing an outside speed rush guy and you can get sacks. DeVito's six forced fumbles, though, comes to my attention because it looks like it's a guy that not only is going to do his job, he wants to make something happen when he arrives or the ball carrier arrives to him. What about Mike DeVito, and where does he fit in to this Bob Sutton scheme, and how good can he be?
Well, first of all, Bob Sutton knows him, being at New York, so it's no surprise that he brings him here. I don't think the Jets wanted to lose him at all. He does a lot of good things. When I see defensive linemen that cause fumbles, it tells me these are guys that know their technique and that they pursue laterally down the line of scrimmage, and they hit people when they're not seeing it sometimes when they cut back. I think that's when you'd cause a lot of forced fumbles. He is somebody that I think could probably play both sides. I think he brings a level of comfort to the defense because he knows it already, so he can help out from that standpoint. But to that degree, you know, number 97, Alan Bailey, if there's somebody who's chomping at the bit, who's in the stables and ready to get out and show what he can do, I would think Alan certainly is trying to challenge for that defensive end position as well. Now, he played a lot on third down rushing last year, rushing the passer, but as far as an everyday player, you'd like to see him at least challenge for that also.
And we know his athletic ability is
right
there. And we know that there are times, there's glimpses where you saw signs, as you mentioned, rushing the quarterback. Now, let me ask you this before we leave the defensive line, and there's other guys we need to maybe – Anthony Trebbio's a guy that's been on this roster. Again, with the new regime, everybody starts over. You got to prove yourself all over again. Gerald Poe's a guy still on this roster, basically hasn't played very much at all, redshirted his first year. But in a scheme with the defensive line, in an odd front, let's say a three-man front, is getting up the field in the one gap. Does that leave you susceptible to big plays? I know I'm wanting to be more explosive and create plays, but do you become susceptible to screens and draws, and how much pressure then does that put on your linebacker looking at the other side of this equation?
Well, I think you can look at it different ways. If you get upfield, are you susceptible? Maybe so. Or do you put pressure on them so quickly that they can't make the accurate throw or they can't make the decisions as good as they need be? And the fact is, when you got number 56 back there closing on people, and this is a guy that can flat play, former teammate of mine for a couple of years, and Derek Johnson, that, I think, makes a difference. When you look at the linebacker position of the Chiefs, three of the four that went to the Pro Bowl last year, of course, you've got Akeem Jordan, who's brought in from Philadelphia this year, and then, of course, Nico Johnson from Alabama. So I would think it's a tight race between D-backs and linebackers, but we've got as strong a linebacker core as you could hope to have right now.
Well, you're the king of the segue. Will Ferrell, in that terrific movie Land of the Lost, was also very good at the segue.
Did it win an Emmy? Probably not.
It's timeless. It's that and Blades of Glory were just some of Will Ferrell's best work. Okay, you mentioned linebackers, and you kind of already, let's open that door, so let's get there. Because generally, the thought outside externally about the Kansas City Chiefs, they think this is the strongest part of the football team.
Right.
In a 3-4, if we're just looking at the base defense, to go Justin Houston, we'll talk about the Mike backer in a second, but to have Derek Johnson, Tom Bahali, is it everything as advertised, in your opinion?
I think it is, and I think Justin Houston is only going to get better. I think he's only scratched the surface, Mitch, and you've talked about it also in the fact that this is a guy, again, he's young and he's learning. What I like about him is he's a complete player. We've seen him intercept a ball. We've seen him set the edge on the run game, and then we know he can rush the passer. I think he is primed, especially if this defense is what we think it is, which is going to be a very attacking style. You let somebody like that go, because this is a guy, remember, third-round pick, I believe, but people felt like maybe had first-round potential. So it's not that big a surprise to a lot of people, I think, that are in the know. This is a guy, I heard an interview today, and they were talking to him about the fact of, are you satisfied with whatever? And I loved his answer. It was, I'm never satisfied. He goes, no matter how well I'm doing, I'm always trying to get better. That's what I like as a football player, certainly as a guy who's rushing the passer.
Yeah, we've seen him mature, and we're seeing it even more and more. Mm-hmm. If you're playing defensive fantasy football and you want to pick, I'm going to pick Justin Houston.
Yes.
I think it's breakout time for him, and I think he becomes a star. And let's be honest, he was in coverage a lot last year, a lot, more than maybe people realize. And to have a 10-sack season when a lot of times you're turning your hips and getting the interception like he did against Tampa Bay. Now, Derek Johnson, He's been in this league since 05. He's been through everything with this franchise. Mm-hmm. Everything with this franchise. When the team wins a playoff game, hopefully this year, I hug his neck first, just because I know what he's been through and how he's reacted. He has played at such a high level. But how does he get more sacks, more picks, and can he continue at the high level he's been and still then get some of those takeaways we've all been coveting?
Well, the fact is I think he can continue at that high level, and I think he can even get better. He's continued to mature. I was just, again, just around him the other day, and he walked by me and goes, "What's up, old man?" And, you know, and it's kind of funny how times change a little bit, because, number one, he was right. And number two, he's matured so much as a player from when he came in from Texas that rookie year while I was around him. I don't know. This is a guy who was born to play football, because he explodes. You feel like he's running downhill all the time when the ball goes somewhere, and he reacts and identifies where he needs to go. And he's become a very vocal leader, I think, as well. So do I think he can continue it? Yeah, I think he can continue it, and he will continue it, because I think you've got a lot of different pieces in place. That's what I love about the 3-4 is you can bring people from different places. I think maybe with either Akeem, Nico, or the combination of the two, you take a little run pressure off of him also, which I think is nice, because this is a guy who I think has a sense for what's going on also. And you know, sometimes if you're playing basketball, you know, don't shoot, good shot. I mean, it's one of those where he can make some plays that other people just can't make.
And next time Derek goes, "Hey, what's up, old man?" just go, "What's up, old man?" This is his ninth year in the league. No signs of slowing down, but Derek ain't far from playing checkers with the rest of us. Okay, love it. I want this guy to win more than anybody on this football team, probably. But you mentioned you're the Segway King. You mentioned the Mike Backer spot.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the question mark, question mark, question mark. They get Nico Jensen in the fourth round. Love the pick. Akeem Jordan sitting there, mm-hmm. has played for Andy, played a lot for Andy, played at a high level for Andy. This, to me, is one of the hot battles in St. Joe. I don't think we're going to do anything until OTAs, right. But until St. Joe. The Mike Backer position. Let's just take Akeem Jordan, Nico Jensen. What do you see, and what's the plus minus of this battle?
Well, you know what? When you look at Akeem Jordan, the fact is Coach Reed knows him. Like you said, brought him over from Philadelphia. He started a lot of games for them. So you have a known quantity. Is he flashy? Is he the star? He may not be, but he's a solid football player and may have a chance to get better. He has that experience. Nico Jensen, Coach Reed talked about it in terms of him talking with Saban on draft day, he called him his thumper, you know, on first and second down, wasn't sure about third down, and we'll find that out in camp and whether he can be a three-down backer. But at 6'3", 256 pounds, that's a big man. That's a guy that can do a lot of things. Now, he'll have to learn, and linebacker in the NFL is a tough position to play. But he's one of the guys that I was alluding to earlier on, Mitch, when I talked about somebody that I like in the locker room. I tweeted it the very minute that pick came in, was the fact that this guy is used to winning. He doesn't know how to do anything but win, and I like that in the locker room as well.
Yeah, he's bigger than a London Fletcher, but when I watched him, what I've watched him so far, I see some London Fletcherness to him, the way he turns his hip and his body, and so I'm kind of excited to see where this goes, and it's real exciting to have Akeem Jordan on his football team, just saying. Now, the next group of guys, Edgar Jones, holdover. We saw him make the big play late in the season on the interception return for a touchdown. Zach Dials, former K-Stater. He's been in the league for a while. Frank Zombo.
Right.
Been in the league, special teams guy. What do you see in that next group of linebackers? And then let's throw in Catapano out there, because during rookie minicamp and watching him, it wasn't too big for him. He was a defensive end at Princeton, but I said to folks watching, he could be one of those guys, he's in the league 10 years later as a Larry Izzo guy. What are you seeing of that next group of linebackers on the depth chart?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said Larry Izzo, and you were talking about special teams, and that's what I see. And that's one thing you like also about a 3-4 defense, is you have more stand-up guys on the team that move a little bit better. Not trying to get on my D linemen, but they don't move as well as your linebackers, and they're pretty good-sized guys. So the special teams side of things is where those guys are going to have to contribute. Those, probably all four of those backups need to be four core guys, and that's something that I have no doubt that Dave Tobe has got some evaluations in on them, and talking to Coach Reed and telling him what he thinks about that as well, because That's important. Special teams has to produce not only in the return game, but in the cover game as well. Cover game is huge. And so if you can do that and you can change the field position, I say it all the time, nothing changes the complexion and really lifts a team up or takes a team down than your play in special teams. It has to be on each and every week.
Yeah, and we're actually going to get into this. The next show, we want to get totally into special teams and dedicate the whole Chiefs Live to that. So we'll, to your point, kind of bookmark that. We'll get to it in a second. But those second-team linebackers, and to me it's an upgrade. But we'll talk about what being a stand-up guy, what that does to be a four-core special teams guy. You've already mentioned, Mr. Segway, about defensive back. The investment at that part of this football team by this team during the offseason, a sizable, considerable investment, and some fruit is there on the tree. When we come back, we'll dig in to those D-backs and what this team can do to improve in being more explosive on defense. He's Kendall Gammon. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. This is a brand new set. It's wicked. It doesn't get any better than this. And eat your heart out, rest of the AFC West, and really the rest of the NFL. If you can get a set like this, give us a text.
Just because it's springtime doesn't mean you have to miss out on football. That's right, there's no off-season for Chiefs fans, and that's why there's a show for those who want to stay close to their favorite team all year long. It's Red and Gold. Red and Gold will take you around town, Arrowhead, and into the lives of players and coaches like no other show. Check local listings for dates and times. It's Red and Gold.
Corona Light presents Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Freedom. Starring Kenny Chesney. Sit right here and have another beer. And Eric Church. Eli Young Band. And introducing Casey Musgraves. Saturday, June 15th at Arrowhead Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Available at all Ticketmaster ticket outlets. Kenny Chesney and friends in concert.
Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not going to catch it. Derek Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the Kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
Welcome back to this edition of Chiefs Live. We hope you have a wonderful Memorial Weekend, by the way, and we will, because Ken and I are just going to spend it right here in front of the set and hang out, have a picnic, and just
right here.
That change, you know. So, and we're virtual, by the way. I don't know if you knew that or not. So, anyway, it's we love our new set, and again, 65 TPT works every day just to get better. We feel like we're the best in the league, but that's not good enough because we're just going to keep. Firing away to try to get better. Now, we've talked on this show about defense. We've gone front to back. We've looked at the defensive line. By the way, you're thinking six defensive linemen if you're going to pick a 53 today?
That's what I see. I see six defensive linemen, and I see nine linebackers and 10 defensive backs. Okay, it could shift one way or the other with the deep backs and the linebackers, but that's what I see it right now.
Okay, well, let's go 10 defensive backs. You go five corners, five safeties.
You know, it depends on who shows in camp. I think that's something you can't decide, but I think those 10 players, it harkens back to what we talked about before the break, which is, number one, the reverse segue for me, and number two, the fact that the special teams and taking care of things there, because those defensive backs are very important on the special teams side of things.
I've harped on it. This team was awful last year in the giveaway-takeaway ratio, just was on a record pace. In that regard, it got a little better toward the end of the year, but this team still didn't take it away. Everybody focused on the turnovers and giving it away. This team did not take it away and did not have explosive plays on defense. We've documented that over the past 5 months. So Andy Reid and John Dorsey and Clark Hunt decide to invest. They invest a lot in this defensive secondary. It kind of started with Dante Robinson, but let's take him and Sean Smith. You've got two guys that have been veterans, played at a high level in this league for other teams, and you give them some incentive to come here to play. What do you see in these guys, and what can they do?
Well, Sean Smith is a big physical corner. He likes to get up in the guy's face and play a physical style bump and run, and that's something that I think you're going to see a lot with Coach Sutton. So you talk about giving a defensive coordinator tools. I think he definitely got given a few tools there. Dante Robinson coming over for Atlanta. I like him for a number of reasons because I don't think he's too old. He's done well in this league. He can play the game. I like the fact that he can play corner. I know that. He could play in the slot side of things, in the nickel. He could even slide in at the safety side opposite of Eric Berry. So there's a lot of different things that you could do with him. And as a defensive backfield, to have that versatility, some guys, is huge. And then not the most important thing, but you've got to talk about it, is the fact that this is a true pro. And I guarantee you, everybody's going to learn from him. And I have no doubt that when the coaches are talking, they're talking to the younger guys and saying, this is a guy you want to follow around and understand how he studies the game and his approach to the game. Because just being around him once and listening to him speak, this is a guy who definitely gets it.
Yeah, and people forget. I mean, Dante was a top 10 pick. He was the 10th pick of the draft. He was one of the top corners that year coming out. And I knew some of his college teammates at South Carolina. So you've got that athletic ability, but then you can just tell the wisdom that he's picked up of being in this league since the early 2000s and what he can do for this team and help out a younger Sean Smith.
Right.
Brandon Flowers. This guy's been a survivor, too. Survivor. Played at a high level when it was easy to shut it down. Where does he fit into this group?
Well, I think he stays there as the corner and has done a great job since he came in several years ago. I think he's somebody who can learn from Dante also, and I'm not knocking him at all. It's just the fact of any time you're at any position, you can always learn, you can always get better. I think he will probably adapt or I guess maybe benefit from it is a better word than the fact of now you've got people on the other side that maybe you don't want to go after. I just think you've got a defensive backfield that has a chance to be very, very strong. I'd love to see a few balls get tipped up in the air and see people taking them back. And, you know, he's as athletic as you'll find in the league. I think he does a great job in how he flips his hips and he can run. He has closing speed. He has the confidence, something you have to have as a defensive back.
And he has ball skills. This guy has had
no question.
Pick sixes, 90-plus against Brett Favre early in his career. He had the one against Oakland. So, yeah, he's got that fighter pilot kind of mentality that you want in cornerbacks. And I kind of like what you said, kind of the iron sharpening iron, so to speak, where these guys can all help each other. If you're going to keep five corners now, that's where my next question is for you. If you said five corners, five safeties, I don't want to pigeonhole you in that. But the fourth corner, Javier Arenas gets traded to Arizona.
Right.
Many thought he was going to be in there. Nope, gone. Now all of a sudden you got a wild race that's going to be there in St. Joe for that fourth corner position. Your definition of a good, strong fourth corner on a good NFL team?
A strong fourth corner, better know all the positions, number one. And more importantly, I'm going to go with the special team side of things, is he's going to have to perform and be a four core there because he's not going to be playing all the time, obviously, if he's a fourth corner. So you better be able to contribute on special teams and make some plays, be it the gunner on punt return or a bracket guy on punt return. I mean, it's just huge. I played special teams my 15-year career. I know how important it is, and I don't try to belabor the fact too much, but it makes a difference. O and D will be up and down week to week. Special teams has to be something that you can count on each and every week.
Jaleel Brown would be the guy probably right now on the cusp of Memorial Day who would be that probably the leading candidate as that fourth corner. What about Jaleel, and how does he fit into your definition?
You know what? I'm be interesting. He's had some injury problems, hasn't played a ton. He's been a lot on special teams. I think it's going to be interesting. You've got him. You've got Nico Thorpe. You had a couple safeties brought in yesterday. So that's going to one. I want to see. When I look at his body type, it's not the normal body type that I see as a corner. And I'm not getting on him by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a thick corner to me, and not robotic, but he's certainly not as fluid as a Brandon Flowers. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs. He was thrust into the position last year to have to play more than maybe people thought he would have to or expected it or wanted him to. Thought he did a pretty good job, but, you know, as we saw this offseason, they've upgraded positions significantly.
One thing you mentioned that I like before we transition from corners to safeties here, you hear in basketball, you don't want a team to be too right-handed or too left-handed. You hear offenses in football, you don't want to be too right-handed or too left-handed. Defenses are seriously that way. If now all of a sudden you break the huddle and Flowers is over here or Robinson, Smith's over here or however you line it up, and you're not right-handed or left-handed defensively, that's a good thing.
I'm speechless on this one. I mean, the corners that we've assembled, I think, is just fabulous. You're exactly right. And you've got Eric Berry back there patrolling the middle. And then you've got the other position, which is, I think, is our last battle with the free safety position. I am. Thank you. That's four, I think. In terms of, you know, Kendrick Lewis is coming back, certainly. But injuries, let's be honest, injuries have been an issue. And he hasn't been able to play as much. And so certainly with the drafting of Sanders Cummings, that's something you've got to look at. I think Dante Robinson is a possibility as well. So you've got a lot of different combinations. And the fact is, whoever doesn't win that position may be at the nickel, and whoever doesn't win that position may be at the dime. So you've got a lot of good things going. If you're a Chiefs fan, you've got to be excited about the secondary.
And just so you know, in one of our 8 or 12 screens or how many we have, if there's a segue, we can just pop it up there and it'll go segue, segue, gammon, segue. Eric Berry.
Leader, he's grown, came back from the knee injury better than ever, goes to the Pro Bowl. I thought when he was able to stay in the backfield more, and when I say backfield, the third level as opposed to coming up to the second level, that helped him a little bit more. I think he has a chance to break out and do some really great things because, again, you're not right or left-handed. You can't stay away from him per se because if you go to the other side, that's an issue also. So I like it. I mean, the front office, coaching staff has talked about, John Dorsey talked about he knew Eric Berry was good, but he didn't realize how good. And you get those type of compliments from somebody who, you know, doesn't hand them out right and left. That's good.
Yeah, I just think he can be a premier safety now being used maybe more in a role where he can be successful.
Certainly.
More like that was when he first came into the league instead of that kind of nickelbacker thing he was playing. I think that's big for Eric Berry. I'm intrigued. You mentioned Sanders Cummings. Watching him, you can see what they were thinking in drafting him. He's another one of those big, bigger, thicker combo corner safety guys.
He is.
And there's some skill there.
There is, and I think he takes good angles to the ball. He's physical. I think whether he's starting or not, he's going to be somebody that they rely on in special teams as well. He brings a lot of versatility to the ball game because, you know, you have 10 defensive backs. If you kept that many, you're obviously not going to suit that many up. And here's a guy who can be a hybrid and do both, and that's big on game day when you've only got 46 spots.
Very interesting. Hussein Abdullah, we haven't talked about him, right, away from football for spiritual reasons. And a guy, though, that when he's been on the field, he's been productive.
He has. Up in Minnesota, he did some good things for them, so it'll be interesting. It's a tall task, though. Anytime you're out of football, out of anything for a year and come back, it's hard to readjust a little bit. So that's something that certainly I think was worth taking a chance on. But you'll have to get out on the field in training camp in St. Joe and see what he's made of. And, you know, I would think from his standpoint, he probably got a little, not in a bad way, but a little chip on his shoulder because he's been away a year and now he wants to show that he can get back and do it. That would be great if he can.
Well, it's our first Chiefs Live with a new set. It's fabulous, and we hope you have a good Memorial Day weekend with you and your family. I know you'll be out on the boat thinking of segues.
I will.
Which, I mean, I'm just impressed. A career high in segues, I think.
Thank
five?
You so much.
So, very good. I can see all that work's paying off, man. He is. So, if you want some segues, you can go to his Twitter site. What, at Kendall Gammon? What is it?
At Kendall Gammon,
at
yes.
At Kendall Gammon. And if you want to know, help me how to handle the segues, you can just go at Mitch Holter's. I'm drastically close to 20,000 followers. I'm thinking,
folks, I need help. I got to get there.
I'm just thinking this Memorial Day weekend, you can take me over the top. So we need to have it. Anyway, have a great Memorial Day. Kendall Gammon, I'm Mitch Holtis. We have, there you go, 6 defensive linemen, 9 linebackers, 10 defensive backs. That's the 53 as it stands going to Memorial Day. But we're going to get more into special teams and where the Chiefs can be that surprising team to go from 2-14 to shoot right up. Teams will be a part of that. Again, have a great Memorial Day, and thanks for joining us on this new set on this edition of Chiefs Live.